The Bible says that they should love their husbands, love their children, be discreet, be chaste, keep themselves pure. And then he says, keepers at home. Does that say keepers at the office? Does that say keepers down at the place of business? It says keepers at home. This is biblical preaching. You say, this is your opinion. No, this is sound doctrine that I'm preaching right now. This is teaching of the Word of God. No, it's not popular. No, it's not what people want to hear today, but it's what our country was built upon. A society that said that the man is the breadwinner and the wife is the keeper at home. Today, adultery abounds, partially because of women in the workplace interacting with other men all the time and becoming estranged from their husband. You know, and then it becomes a fight between the wife and her husband. Because honestly, I'll say this, you know, if I worked 40 hours a week at my job and my wife worked 40 hours a week at her job, you know, wouldn't it seem kind of odd if we're both working 40 hours a week, if I then looked at my wife and said, hey, you need to do all the cooking, all the cleaning, and all the chores? I mean, wouldn't that be a little bit off? It's kind of like, well, we both worked 40 hours a week, you know, and you expect me to do all this? So then basically, all of a sudden now, that's not the woman's job. Now it's both our job. And now we're this 50-50 team. Doesn't that sound great? No, it sounds wrong to me. Because what the, you know, I expect to go to work and have my wife keep the home. That's what the Bible says, that the wife keeps. Look, have you ever heard the term housekeeping? Well, do you notice a similarity between housekeeping and keeping at home? It's the same thing. It's just an old way of saying the exact same thing. And so therefore, you know, I expect my wife to do the housekeeping. But in return for that, I pay the bills. I bring home the bacon. And I might have to work two jobs or whatever. But I'm saying, you know, that is the old fashioned. And nobody can say that that's not the old path and the old fashioned way. And when my parents started out, it was the norm. And when their parents started out, it was definitely the norm. And it was a culture that was a God-fearing culture as opposed to the godless culture that we have today. It says that they should be keepers at home. They should be good. And then he says they should be obedient to their own husbands. Now, how often do you hear that preached today? Well, if you come to Faithful Word, you hear it all the time. But if you go somewhere else, you don't hear it so much. But that's what the Bible says. You know, you say, well, that's old, that old-fashioned idea. Today we have women's rights. We've come a long way, baby. And today, you know, oh, those horrible, horrible days when women had no right. Let's bring them back. Let's get back to those days. What are you so worried about? What do you think they mean when they say women's rights? You know what they mean? The right to divorce your husband is what they mean. You know what they mean? The right to rebel and disobey your husband. The right to divorce him. The right to go out and get a job and make your own money. The right to tell him what to do. The right to go vote for our leaders as if women should have any say in how our country is run. When the Bible says that I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man but to be in silence. I am quoting the Bible right now. But it's old fashioned. Why do you think that women were not allowed to vote until the 20th century? And yet if I get up and say, I don't believe women should vote because if we're in a democracy, which is ruled by the people, I don't want to be ruled over by women. And when the founder of our nation, John Adams, one of the key founders, one of the authors of the type of government that we have in the Constitution and the bicameral legislature and all of it, the one who laid that out, his wife told him, hey, you need to put something in there that women should be allowed to vote. And he said, you know what? He said, I'm not going from the tyranny of England to the tyranny of women ruling over me. He said, I'd rather have England rule over me. You know, I'm paraphrasing. But, that, you know, he said something like that, okay? Look it up. He said something similar to that. And if not, well, I'm saying it now. But anyway... But I'm just telling you today that, look, you look at me like I'm insane when I preach this kind of stuff. And yet it's in the, there's no teaching in the Bible that says that women are supposed to rule over and lead men. It's not there. But yet today, if you get up and say, hey, I believe in a man-run nation, a man-led church, and a man-led home. Oh, you're so old-fashioned. Well, thank you. I appreciate the compliment. Because the old paths is wherein is the good way. And this is what the Bible says, that wives are supposed to be obedient to their own husbands. If you say, I don't believe wives should be obedient to their husbands, you're probably not saved. Did you hear me? Because he that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God. Did you hear me? Yes, I said it. You say, well, I thought all you have to do to be saved is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're right. But when you get saved, when you believe on Christ, you believe the Word of God. And when somebody shows you something point blank in the Bible that has no way to be misunderstood, there's no way to misinterpret that. When the Bible says that wives are supposed to be obedient to their husbands in all things, if you say, I don't believe that, that just tells me you're not saved. Because he that is of God heareth God's words, ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. And Jesus said, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. And the Bible said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And when you hear the voice of God, and you say, I don't believe that. Hey, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe in evolution. You're not saved. If you believe in evolution after you've read the clear scripture in Genesis 1 that tells you, you're not saved. Because you can't just believe one part of the Bible to be saved. It's true. I mean, does anybody understand what I'm saying right now? Let me tell you something. Yes, believing in Jesus is great. Jesus is the Word, and that's how you get saved. But the evidence that you're saved is that you believe the Word. I mean, for example, when my wife got saved, you know, my wife didn't grow up in a Christian home. She didn't know everything that the Bible taught, right? She didn't know the doctrines of the Bible because she had not been exposed to it. Okay, so what did she believe to get saved? She believed one thing. She believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross for her sins, that he was the only way to heaven, that he was buried and rose again. And believing that was enough to save. But let me tell you something. When she believed on Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came and moved into her heart. And from there on out, if anything was ever showed to her point blank in the Bible, she believed it. Now, if somebody says that they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, but then you keep showing them things in the Bible, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Look, go to 1 John. Because sometimes it seems like people struggle with this doctrine, but it's true. 1 John chapter 4. Because you have to understand that when a person gets saved, they hear God's word. They believe it. Now look, did my wife know everything about the Bible when she got saved? No. Did she believe every doctrine of the Bible? Well, no, she hadn't heard every doctrine of the Bible. But let me tell you something. You know, I might have showed something to my wife in the Bible that was a little bit ambiguous. You know what I mean? Like maybe something that's a little unclear. Now, who thinks there are some things in the Bible that are a little unclear? Of course there are. There are things that are a little bit unclear, right? Take a little further study. You know, if I show somebody something like that, we might have two different opinions, right? But when the Bible just point blank says that God created the animals and they all brought forth after their own kind, and he gives you the day by day and the year by year breakdown, and then you're going to turn around and say, no, I think it's millions of years old. You didn't get that from the Bible. You got that from a lying atheist devil down at the university. And the Bible here, when it flat out says wives are supposed to be obedient to their own husbands, and then you're going to sit there and say, I don't believe that. That just tells me you're probably not saved. Okay? Because look what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The Bible says that when somebody refuses to hear God's word, that is the spirit of error. That is not the spirit of truth. We can know right there, you're not of God. He that is of God. I mean, it's the same thing that Jesus said. He that is of God heareth God's words. Therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. We just saw the same thing broken down in 1 John 4, 5 and 6. He breaks down the exact same thing. And so I'm here to tell you today that when a person is saved, you say, well, what's the evidence of salvation? You know, one evidence of salvation is somebody that hears God's word.